hang on. Don't give up hope yet. Maybe I can help you kids out a little. With my ninja info cards. With my ninja info cards. With my ninja info cards. With my ninja, 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 ninja. With my ninja info cards. With my ninja info cards.
What the heck are those?
Ninja info cards. With my ninja, 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 ninja. With my ninja info cards. With my ninja info cards.
What the heck are those?
Ninja info cards. With my ninja info cards. It's hard to explain. My ninja info cards. But these cards, my ninja info cards. Been chakra encoded with my ninja info cards. With everything I've learned with my ninja info cards. They may not look like much of my ninja info cards. In fact, they appear blind. My ninja info cards. It shows the geographical distribution. My ninja info cards. And of all the candidates with my ninja info cards. With my ninja info cards. Ninja info cards. With my ninja info cards. Ninja info cards. With my with my ninja info cards. They may not look like much to my ninja info cards. They appear blind. My ninja info cards. It's hard to explain.
Hey everybody, welcome to your Thursday, April 19th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that abruptly ends at weird. Joining me this week is Mike Lemieux and Greg Jan.
Hello.
Gentlemen.
So, usually at this point, we would talk about Bakuman.
Which, I can't believe you guys didn't think it was ending. I mean, I tried to tell you.
You did call it correctly.
Oh, yes, totally. You were all over that, Mike.
But, considering Jump is off next week, and Bakuman has ended, which is a weird confluence of events, we thought about, for next week, just having a podcast about the totality of Bakuman, including the
a retrospective.
Yes.
An appreciation, a farewell to Bakuman.
The inside the actor studio of Bakuman, with none of the people involved.
We'll talk about what kind of trees they would be if they were trees. That's an inside the actor studio thing, right?
I know.
I have no idea.
But yeah, so I'm sorry if you wanted to hear Bakuman talk this week, but it just seemed like we couldn't really do it justice in the time we have with the other manga as well. In addition to that fact, the fact that Bakuman is ending means that we need to fill it with something else. So if you guys have any recommendations, next week we might have some things that we're going to talk about as well that we might try to convince each other about. But for now, Bakuman is basically out of rotation. So that's it for that. So I guess we move on to Bleach. Or do you guys want to say something about that?
I was just going to say, good night, sweet prince. It's been a fun ride.
I'm just going to say, man, did I not call that right. Man, was I.
So what do you think
is
going to happen next week?
I think it's going to keep going. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
That would be pretty hilarious if it just kept going.
It was just in the next issue for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be like a different name, but then all of the same characters and whatnot, but focusing on a different person.
I guess that's also worth mentioning that after the break, every week when Jump comes back, there's going to be new manga. So
yeah, there's three new series which are going to be coming out. We have no idea if anybody's going to be scanlating any of them, but if we manage to find somebody who does, then give those a look.
Yeah, if they're good, we can start talking about them. Exciting times.
Yep. Speaking of exciting times, Bleach had a lot of people talking about information.
Yes.
It was an info dump chapter.
Yep.
Also, being a ghost really sucks. Like, you don't even get shoes, apparently.
Well, some of them do.
Just not people in extreme poverty that, for some reason,
the
live further away.
The 99% don't get shoes.
In Obama's Soul Society.
So when you die from Soul Society, you come back to life.
Yes, which seems preferable to living in horrible.
Well, that's kind of what was implied early in the series, but now with this entire balancing the souls thing, I don't know, because they made it sound like it was the other places where they just took them off and disappeared. So,
we should back up. Like, the start of this chapter is the lieutenants talking about the disappearance of the people in the Rukong guy, which we saw a few weeks ago, and then it was never mentioned again.
Yeah, it was Ikkaku and Kuchika.
Yeah.
Investigating that.
And Kira figures out that there were Shinigami involved in the disappearance because only Shinigami wear sandals because the poor people can't afford them.
Well, no, I didn't think that they said that only Shinigami did. I thought that they said only people from that one, like, the city that's right around there versus the outlying areas.
Right, there wouldn't be anyone in that area that would typically wear sandals.
Yeah.
And they accuse Kurosuchi of something.
Of and hiding information.
Right. Yes. And then we see Ichigo
fight the Nazis.
Yeah. Vanderreich? Should we?
Yeah, just Vanderreich. We should probably start. Yeah. What was the other random German thing that was tossed out there this chapter?
Here in Kaku or something.
Yeah, something.
I don't know. They're mixing Latin and German, which is really confusing me because I don't know what's going for.
Sternritter. That's what it is. Notify the Sternritter. I kind of want to know what that stands for now.
Star Warriors or something like that. So I'm sure it's his elite group squad that everyone's going to have to fight.
That would be a reasonable guess.
So we see, old hairy guy talk about his Sternritter. And then Kurosuchi and Yamamoto talk. And
it was interesting to see somebody actually talking back to Yamamoto that way.
Like, giving him some attitude, too.
Yes. Well, because, it's kind of his fault.
Apparently. Yeah.
We find out that 1,000 years ago, Yamamoto spared this guy, the leader of the Quincy's.
Well, no. We don't know if he actually spared him.
Or
just that he didn't
him
kill him.
Yeah.
Which, also,
yeah.
How, since we don't know what killing necessarily means in that case, but.
Well, it kind of shoots some holes into the Ichigo's uncle theory.
Yeah, that's a joke thing going around. His dad's a ghost, so who knows if his uncle would be a ghost, too.
So obviously it's going to be Ishida's uncle, right?
Or maybe they're actually cousins.
Something. But
one interesting thing is they talk about, 1,000 years ago, he didn't kill this guy. 1,000 years ago, he also became the head captain commander. So I wonder if those are connected.
That seems like an awfully convenient coincidence. So you might be accurate with that.
It's also a nice round number to throw out whenever you need to say that something happened a long time ago.
Very true. And given the timescales that we're talking about with these people,
I'm not sure that I'm interested in a Soul Society 1,000 years ago story.
Well, that's because you missed it when it happened in the last arc.
Yeah, and that was actually the best thing that has happened since the Soul Society arc.
Yeah, they totally did a flashback to, like...
When the... You remember the visored people? The ones that had the holo masks?
Yeah.
It basically went back to when they were captains and lieutenants and got holified.
Yeah, kind of the rise of Aizen.
Yeah, it was actually... Yeah, it was definitely the most interesting thing that's happened since the end of Soul Society.
You know the dude, like the mod dude with the bowler haircut? Aizen was his vice captain and betrayed him.
Hmm. But, more the issue that if this is the last arc of Bleach, having a conflict that kind of doesn't involve Ichigo except that he's intruding in on it seems weird.
Well, it seems to involve Ichigo because Big Boss Dude seems to be very, very aware of him.
Well, he's aware that he's trouble, but he doesn't seem to involve him in, a personal context.
I'm just saying, he's actually done a pretty decent job tying everything together in, a nest of strings thus far. I it would not surprise me if they're holding out some reveal to make it more personally important.
You know what reveal I'm waiting for is that Ichigo is actually part Quincy, because every arc you find out that he's actually part bad guy. He's part Hollow, he's part Arrancar, he's visored, he's everything.
That would actually seem a little too Yu Yu Hakusho-ish to me, that if he had some latent Quincy gene that was just waiting until he absolutely needed it.
Yeah, after
that.
This
that sounds very Bleach too.
Well, yeah. Bleach is very Yu Yu Hakusho, so.
Yeah.
So
no, the terrible thing going along with, you know, how a couple chapters ago you were talking about how it was like, what's the most offensive thing we could do, the Nazis and whatnot, when they went into the entire conversation about how, oh, you didn't kill him completely and that sort of stuff, and we had just been talking about having the people resurrected and all that sort of stuff. All I could think was, wow, he could have gotten even more offensive if he had made the leader of the Nazis Jesus.
Oh man, he might be. He's got the beard and the hair. Was Jesus German? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Arrow,
probably not.
Close enough. Though, I mean, they seem to be mixing European cultures a lot with this group.
But it just seems to be quasi-European bad guys, which, you know, Die Hard showed us makes the best bad guys.
Right. Just get Alan Rickman in there and have him do whoever.
Yes.
I'm ashamed to admit that I've never seen Die Hard. Yes, I intend to amend that. It's in my Netflix queue.
That's a shame.
I think we've already had this conversation of how could you not have seen Die Hard.
But... No, that was with me when I saw it last year.
Oh, yeah, what the hell is wrong with you two? So, anyway, with this chapter, I do like how he's splitting, like, the lieutenants, Ichigo, and the Yamamoto stuff. I don't know, it felt like a really well-paced chapter. It didn't fly by.
Yeah, it feels like they managed to have both action and plot progression in a single chapter, which is rare for Bleach.
Yeah, if this is the kind of stuff we can expect for the end of it, I mean, he's bringing his A-game, it seems like.
I do like how they are basically saying screw it to the 5-day limit they gave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the twist at the end, is they're just going to attack now while Ichigo's gone.
Though I wonder, like, how that's going to result. Either he's going to actually be laid out for a little while and they take Ward's Soul Society in the meantime, or Ichigo's going to beat him and then manage to get there somehow anyway.
Well, that's kind of how it happened in the Aizen arc, is that Aizen just kind of left while Ichigo was trying to get to him, and then Ichigo wound up at the final battle.
I'm going to go with what's going to end up happening is they've showed the lieutenants off to one side. Lieutenants all aren't going to have Bankai or whatever. They're going to attack. The captains are basically going to be taken out somehow, not killed because it's Bleach, but they're going to be, you know, eliminated. And then Ichigo is going to come back, whatever, find out after Rukia contacts him, and they're going to have to break Aizen out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been assuming that Aizen's been... Like, he's probably the key to this entire arc. Because they didn't kill him, and that seems like a big oversight for everything. Unless they had plans for him in the final arc.
If they pull it off right, I could really get on board with an Aizen team-up. I think that could be a cool way to end the series.
But I feel like they do that too often. I mean, too often. They did it once, where they bring back the villain from the previous series. Or previous arc, sorry.
Yeah, but Aizen was the villain from the previous, like, four arcs.
Yeah, but he wasn't, like, the villain. Like, Byakuya was clearly the villain.
Yeah.
He was the rival. He wasn't the villain.
He was the one that Ichigo had to defeat to win.
Yeah, he was seemingly the last obstacle standing in his way.
Yeah, he was the obstacle, but, like, even through that entire thing, he was never, like, he wasn't the bad guy.
Well, he explicitly was trying to kill Rukia.
But the point was that he was not actually evil. The bad thing was the rules of Soul Society or whatever. It was something much more abstract. He was kind of the barrier that Ichigo had to overcome, but he wasn't the bad guy.
But still, trying to kill one of the main characters. Regardless of the reasons, from Ichigo's perspective, he was the villain. Or from the perspective of the manga.
The antagonist.
Okay. I'll give you that.
We're not like judging him. We're just saying he's the antagonist.
I'm just saying that like they pulled that once with him coming to help in Hueco-Mundo. I think they'd have to do a different way or make it a little bit more believable this time.
Well, I think that the entire the way that it would be different is he showed up of his own accord in Hueco-Mundo, whereas in this case it would be, you know, breaking Aizen out because they require his assistance.
Yeah.
Which does put a completely different spin on the entire thing happening.
Though I do kind of hope that, like, if they do a big Soul Society war, that they don't just cheap out and do it one-on-one battles the entire time.
So you're hoping for something more like the War of the Best in One Piece?
Yes. Something that, makes more sense than just the vice captains get defeated, then it's the captains versus the Quincy's, then when all is lost, AGO comes in.
I agree with Greg that the captains are probably going to get wiped out pretty quickly.
I don't know if it's going to be quickly, but I think that the only way that you're actually going to have tension with this thing is if you basically treat people who have otherwise been extremely powerful as mostly fodder.
Yeah, because I could see Ichigo arriving at a, you know, Quincy-ruled Soul Society. You know, like, the guy succeeds and takes over, and...
And there's still a resistance or something like that.
Yeah, of lieutenants, and they kind of team up, and they have to kind of take back Soul Society from the sky.
That would be cool. I actually wouldn't mind that, just combining the first and second arc, basically.
Yeah. And, like, you know, at one point they have to go to the holding cells and free Aizen or whatever, get answers from him.
It could also put an interesting spin on things, because if that actually occurs, then you're going to have Arrancar running around in Soul Society.
Yeah, I mean, if they do that, he could really bring, like, every arc together in one accumulating story, you know.
So what is he using the people for?
Kurotsuchi?
No, not Kurotsuchi. Is he the one who's actually dragging them off?
Yeah, he's...
Okay.
Well, he dragged the ones off to balance it because of the number of hollows that were killed. Is that what it was? Like, that were killed outright?
They explained this a long time ago, that Quincy's are bad because when they kill a hollow, it kills the souls. They don't get reincarnated. So to keep up the balance, he's having to, like, I guess, forcibly reincarnate souls just to, you know, keep the wheels of space-time magic rolling.
So I don't see why he wouldn't tell people this, though.
Well, I don't know. He's, for one, crazy.
Having known publicly that the people who are supposed to be, you know, your protectors are running around and killing you, not necessarily,
telling the captains. Because he told Genryusai, apparently.
Yeah, well, because he would understand. This is totally just like death squads going and rounding up people and killing them. But it's for the greater good. Supposedly.
That's some good old 1945 talk.
So who are the real Nazis here?
Who's the real bad guys here?
I saw a comment that was like clearly written by a 13-year-old, but it was like, I hope Genryusai sacrifices himself to beat the guys and Ichigo becomes a new leader of Soul Society. I was like, that's an acceptable ending. It's so stupid that I would be happy with it.
I want at some point Ichigo to die in the real world and just pop up in Soul Society and be like, oh yeah, that's right.
Nothing changed.
Well, no, you lose your memory, don't you?
That could be the sad ending, is that Rukia finds him in the afterlife and he doesn't remember anything.
I don't know, the rules of Soul Society are just...
Yeah, they change depending on what's needed for plot.
Like, Rukia remembers her sister, or Rukia's sister remembers her. But I don't think they ever met in Soul Society?
Yeah,
she was dead before they ever...
And yet Rukia reincarnates as a child.
And, let's not dwell on it, because this makes no sense. We really confuse ourselves.
Alright, so...
So obviously we need to go on to something that makes tons more sense.
Yeah, something that follows logical consistency and has no weird surprises.
Glasses, I mean Naruto.
Because I think you mean Beale.
Yeah, we were talking about Beale.
Were we talking about Beale? Oh.
Yeah. Can you detect sarcasm?
Naruto made no sense either, but let's go to Beale first. I had not written that down, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Alright, so Beale.
Was fantastic. Again.
Oh god, it was so good. This is quickly becoming my favorite manga of the week, like beating out One Piece.
Currently I would completely agree with you.
Every single chapter has been amazing for like the last couple months.
This one was it felt kind of short even though it was longer, but I guess only like two real events happened.
You know what was weird about the double length is that like when it would have stopped, it has what looks like an ending page and then it just keeps going. Like it seems like they might have made it longer after
that. They might have actually done two chapters and then just decided, oh, it's double size. Here's the next two.
Yeah, something like that, because it's like another half chapter after that. But, I mean, go to page 19 and tell me that does not look like there should be a to be continued at the bottom of it.
Well, not. There's only 23 pages, but 19 is not a. I don't know. I see what you're saying, but that's not the midway point of the chapter or anything.
Oh, I didn't mean it was the middle. I just mean they added a little bit on the end at some point to. Anyway, so like we guessed, Himikawa diffuses the situation in spectacular style.
Yes, and it causes them to realize what school they're actually from.
I like how Himikawa just happened to have his stun baton on him.
At all times.
With his wine glass and robe.
Also, I love the line of, I don't need to give my name to the likes of you. However, I'm Himikawa.
Yes. And also the, you know, dangling him as a hostage. You bet you lot better not resist or else I'll drop this. Oh, I and then he just drops him. And then it has the, you know, fourth wall breaking. Oh, thank God. It looks gag-like. So it's okay.
Yeah, it wasn't grotesque when he hit the ground. So then Tojo and Kanzaki proceed to beat the ever-loving crap out of that school.
Yeah, because they realized that the Toho Shinki.
Yes.
Which has not come up in a long, long time.
Yeah, I kind of struggled. I was like, who's the fourth person? Sat there for a few minutes, forgetting it was Aoi.
Yeah. But then, so they beat up the entire school, and Aiba's school complains to him that they got beat up by Ishiyama.
Yeah. And then we get a very awesome Furuichi moment.
As he tries to consider, like, the ramifications of him sleeping in the same room as Hilda.
It's
not
like
just in the same room, next to her.
Was it just me, or did it seem like he was building up the nerve to, like, rape her or something?
He says he's next to her, but there's Oga in between him.
Yes.
But is it just me, or does it seem like he's building up the nerve to, like, rape her? Because he's like, I could. This is a test. And, like...
I don't think it's outright, but like going over next to her and attempting to seduce her is basically what I took that as. Not outright rape.
Yeah, but something pervy was going on. Well, because when Aiba bursts in, he's like out of his bed and falls down.
Yeah.
I took that as his bed was that close to the door, so he was getting up and the door hit him when it got pushed open.
I think he was going to try and like touch her in weird ways.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. It was just like boob groping while she was sleeping.
I think it's amusing that, like, he says that Hilda got to room with Oga because of their marital situation.
But then he's also there.
So they really don't think anything of Furuichi. Like, literally nothing.
Well, obviously, he's supposed to be rooming with Oga. That's just the way it works, right?
I also loved in this chapter how he, like, never appeared, like, full body. Most of the time, his head was just, like, in the corner of the panels.
Yep. This marginalization of Furuichi is, like, the best part of this manga.
Soon it'll just be, like, the back of his head is his only appearance in the chapter.
You'll just see, like, a slight side in a crowd somewhere.
Lesser characters will be in front of him in crowd shots.
But yeah, Aiba came to get Oga, because he wants to call a meeting with the Toho Shinki.
Which he does.
Yeah, they all meet on the beach in the morning.
Challenges Tojo to a fight. After professing his love to Aoi.
Yeah. And he challenged Tojo, and Tojo says, if you want to challenge the chief, you should fight Oga.
Because he's the chief.
Well, he beat Tojo, so he's the chief.
Well, yeah. And of course, Oga wasn't paying attention at all. He's just kind of half asleep.
Mm-hmm. Well, he woke up early.
Yeah, yes. Everybody. It's dawn. Have you ever been up at dawn at the beach? It makes you sleepy. So we get the start of a fight where it's just Aiba and Oga, no children involved.
Pudi 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 doskoi.
Pudi 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 doskoi.
Yeah, Oga's doing sumo stuff.
So he lunges forward, punches, causes a huge shockwave. Aiba dodges it and just says interesting with a smile on his face.
I think Aiba finally realized that he's Oga and not Madison.
Yes. He realized based off of the... Oh, you're the child-rearing badass. That's right.
I'm going to miss Madison. That was a great running joke.
Yeah. I hope it comes back. Like, he just doesn't put two and two together after this still.
So, the look on Iba's face at the end of it he's pretty clearly going to be a match for Oga, right? This isn't going to be totally one-sided.
Well, he looked shocked in the second to last page. But right. Then in the final page, it's kind of like, oh, hey. So I guess the question will be whether or not he actually has to pull on any of Beale's power for this.
Yeah, I have a feeling this is going to turn south for Oga really fast.
I have a feeling this fight's not going to go on at all, and somebody's going to step in.
Really?
Because they're not supposed to be fighting.
Well, but Aoi's there, and she's too busy being flustered.
Yeah, she's okay with it. They're fighting for her.
I don't know. It seems like this fight makes too much sense right now. And that's sort of the thing that Beale does not like.
Well, but when fights do happen, sometimes, you know, we get a chapter or two.
Yeah, I could see a chapter of actual fight in this. It doesn't seem to have enough plot point to get dragged out much more than a chapter or two.
Well,
I could see next chapter being primarily fight.
Well, what's going to happen next chapter, I bet, is Oga's going to have the upper hand until Aiba does something to call on a demon power, and then she's going to stop and be like, wait, what? And we'll start getting some answers about what exactly Aiba is, because there has to be more to him.
Or he uses milk time.
I don't think he'll have to go that far, because I'm pretty sure that would kill Aiba.
It depends on how strong Aiba is. Because I can see Aiba seeing Oga do that and attempting milk time himself.
Stealing the bottle and drinking it.
Yeah. Or trying to get his little sister to drink milk.
Yeah, she was sitting up on the
Oh, she's there.
I'm trying to remember. There were some people who were overlooking the beach but weren't actually on the beach, but I couldn't tell who they were. One sec. I think it was page 18? No, earlier.
Hilda and Furuichi are watching.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're in the reaction shots.
So she's not actually there, so... I wonder.
Which, if he's the demon...
Yeah, he won't need her, and right. He can just use demon powers on his own.
Hooray theory.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with that Aiba is a demon. My theory.
Uh-huh. Just like your theory that Bakuman was an ending.
Yeah, I know. It's good that you finally admit it. It shows that you've grown.
All right, so anything else we have to say about Beale in the meantime?
Just that it was wonderful. That's all
yes,
I have to say.
I think we pretty well covered it. I did like the length. I wish that this was a more standard length instead of the 17 pages or whatever it is.
Yeah, 25-ish felt pretty good.
Yeah.
A lot got done.
Yeah, I think all of them could benefit from being a little longer.
No, you know what? It wasn't that more got done. It's they got to spend a little bit more time on everything. It didn't just fly through it.
They got to have more reaction shots. Which, honestly, in Beale are some of the best panels.
Yes. Well, that's when you get the best jokes.
Like Paco holding a Futaba.
Yes. I like that nobody cared that, like, she almost just died. Like, Paco was the only one paying attention to her.
Yep.
Yeah. And her faces to everything that happened on the roof were just perfect.
Secretly the best character in Beale, I'm telling you guys.
Yeah, I want more of her. Well, all right. Should we move on and talk about something less interesting?
Sure.
Let's talk about Naruto.
Oh, this chapter was so boring.
I can't tell you guys, Kabuto's backstory is pointless and we don't need to hear it.
So boring, though.
Yeah.
And Orochimaru became more of a boy-hungry pedophile than ever.
Yes.
My god. Wait. So, okay, the gist of Kabuto's backstory is the nun is a secret covert ops lady. Danzo tries to blackmail her. Kabuto becomes the new covert ops guy.
Well, no, he successfully blackmails her.
Yeah. So Kabuto becomes a spy because, question mark? Like, I guess you can just grab a random child and say, you're a spy now?
Well, I guess he wanted it so none of the other kids would have to go. Because Danzo just said he wants to take a kid. So he volunteered.
Okay. I thought he was taking the place of the nun.
No.
I guess
no. That.
Okay, so somehow Danzo's horrible plan works, and Kabuto becomes a spy in many villages over many, like, what, about 7 years, I think, pass?
Five, I think.
Well, I thought it did, like, a 3 year skip and then a 5 year skip.
Well, I think he directly says, like, when he meets her.
Oh, there it is. 5 years since I left.
Yeah, but before the skip, what was supposed to be the dramatic tension from saying, did you all forget the rules of the orphanage? It's already bedtime.
That he could read clocks?
I don't know. I think it's just him telling them to go back to bed while he leaves with these mysterious people.
Well, I think it's that he knows what bedtime is now because she taught him how.
Maybe, and then it like zooms in on the clock and does a transition in a manga, which was kind of weird.
And
like a screen wipe.
Yeah, and bedtime is when he found out, or when he found her, years later.
I don't know. That just seemed really strange to have him like dramatically say that line.
Kabuto backstory.
I know, super boring. They're making mountains out of molehills. So anyway, this ninja that's trying to kill him, he fights back and kills this ninja, and it turns out to be the nun, who does not remember him at all because it was a child she met once 5 years ago.
And, they were together for at least a little bit, but the entire thing is you don't know what's happened to her in the meantime. And given that he, you know, had been listening in on the conversation where they talked about how anybody else would get, you know, brainwashed or whatever from being there, maybe something happened to her that made her forget. You don't know. And then it apparently breaks his heart that she can't remember him.
Also, she's dying. That part is important.
Yeah, well, basically dead.
Yeah. So she can't really see, or she's not in her right mind. But so Kabuto has sort of a mental breakdown because of this.
And then Lord Voldemort pops out of some random water and says that he remembers who Kabuto is.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's just like a puddle in the sand village, or the rock village. Why was he in there?
Well, I'm guessing the implication is he arranged this to happen.
Maybe, but...
I don't think it was just a puddle. I think it's a stream. But
still, it's yeah. Just why?
The implication is that he was spying on it the entire time and waiting for a chance to corrupt him, or I don't know,
to corrupt this random child that he met one time.
Well, that's what he does. That's Orochimaru's whole thing. Which I think the big revelation here, I don't know if we knew this or it was just something I missed, but he was part of Danzo's.
Because he was Danzo's bodyguard, which seems important.
Yeah.
Also that other guy with the weird face thing.
Which I couldn't tell if we knew him. At first I thought he was a torture guy, but then I realized that was a scar and not a tattoo.
It's not a tattoo?
No, this guy's is a tattoo, but the or torture guy's is a scar.
I figured this guy has to be related to Shino because of the goggles.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking.
I just
figured it was one of his bodyguards that was in the entire Kage Summit arc. I don't remember what they look like, but I just assumed it was one of them.
The one Sasuke took out, like, immediately?
No, like, the body transfer one that actually...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a guy that had... I'll have to check on that. That's a very distinctive face thing that they kept focusing on. So
why was Orochimaru on another team? Because he was part of a pretty famous team.
Yeah, well, this is... Well, let's see. So 5 years. What do you guys figure, like... About 20 years ago in Naruto time? Because I'd say at most Kabuto's in his mid-20s.
Well, he passed for a Genin during the Chunin exam.
But there were, like, adults there that were still Genin, too.
Hmm.
So I'm just... And given how young Danzo looks, I'm just going to say 20 years, maybe.
I would guess almost more like 30. I don't know.
Okay, well...
There's no way it's 30. Kakashi is 30-something.
But wasn't that... Shouldn't Orochimaru have already been chased out of the village at this point? Because didn't that happen when Kakashi was a kid? I don't know.
Orochimaru got chased out after Tsunade left. So she was still a young girl.
I thought it was... The third was still a Hokage.
But he was Anko's teacher, and Anko's not that old.
Okay. The time frame of this just seems very muddled, and for him to be Danzo's bodyguard is kind of weird.
Yeah,
you're right. He's like, he's Hokage level, and he's just...
Like, right, he was part of the Sannin, and they fought during the Rock War.
Maybe this is pre-Rock War? Maybe Kabuto's a lot older than we give him credit for.
That would be the weirdest part if he's just like 30 years old.
I never really thought about how old he was, but
I always assumed he was like maybe Naruto's age, a little bit older.
Oh no, I always assumed he was at least 10 years older than Naruto.
Because he wasn't that much of a match for Naruto when they fought.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Naruto almost won, right?
Right.
Or did win, depending on how you look at it.
He got a Rasengan off.
Yeah, which was enough. Wait, actually, I'm pretty sure Kabuto killed him, and like the only thing that saved him was Tsunade. I can't remember that arc. It was so short.
It was so long ago.
So, anyway, Kabuto's backstory was really boring.
Yep. Yep. No one really cares. I mean, does anyone... He said
okay,
it last issue.
And I am totally mistaken. Kabuto is 23 years old in current time.
So it's less than 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So let's say he... Yeah, 5 years before he was... Let's say 12? So this is about 10 years probably to the Naruto storyline.
So, you know, this is probably immediately before he gets chased out or something.
Yeah, actually, right in that ballpark.
Actually, given Orochimaru's costume at the end of it, in those 5 years was probably when he was chased out. He's probably rogue right now.
That makes sense.
Is he wearing his kimono at the end, or...?
Yeah, he's wearing his, like, big pretzel belt thing.
Yeah.
His evil guy costume.
I can see that. So within those five years...
With the random giant bow behind it. That always looks so silly.
Well, it's a demon thing, isn't it?
Can you imagine tying that thing in the morning, getting up and putting this big rope behind you?
That's why he needs children.
Yeah, is that why he's an assistant? This thing is a pain in the ass. I gotta get an assistant.
Okay, so time frame wise, Orochimaru got chased out while Kabuto was doing his spy stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with that. That's the only thing that makes sense.
So how long after he got chased out did he come back? I don't know if they ever gave a time frame for that. I mean, it was short enough for Jiraiya to become an old man, or long enough, rather.
I don't think... I have to think there's not a hard time, you know, plot line in Naruto. It's not all planned out. Because some of the stuff gets pretty muddy.
Did he know about Sasuke before or after he met him in the forest?
Before? Because he knew about Itachi.
Yeah, I think he was aware of Sasuke, but had never...
I think
a good judgment of how powerful or anything he would be.
I think Itachi mentioned he had a younger brother, and that set off the boy hungry alert in his heart. Like, you but younger? Ooh.
Well, I know he didn't want to fight Itachi because Itachi could just render all his jutsu useless.
Yeah, so he had to go for the weaker one.
Yep. Well, no, he actually... That was when he got chased out of Akatsuki, was he did attack Itachi and lost. And
right.
That's when he left Akatsuki.
Because if you know every jutsu in the world, it doesn't matter if the other guy can just copy it.
Which is stupid.
Well, Sharingan is unnecessarily powerful at this point.
You know, Orochimaru's motives look really dumb now, of just wanting to know every jutsu.
Yeah.
That seems really small fry.
Well, immortality was the longer thing, wasn't it?
But he was already essentially immortal. Like,
yeah, and there's like, and every single that was Akatsuki's MO, was that every single person had come up with their own unique way of becoming immortal.
I forget, was the Mizuki retcon in the manga, or was it only in the anime?
That was, you mean when he was a Tiger Man, when he turned into Tony the Tiger?
Well, I was going to say when he worked for Orochimaru, but that too.
Yeah, that
was totally filler.
Okay. Oh, I couldn't remember which one it
was. Tony the Tiger Mizuki. I watched that episode in a dub. Like, I just randomly turned to Disney XD or whatever when it was on. That's a bad episode.
Yep.
That was the start of, God, how many years of filler hell was that for Naruto? And they were just, it was terrible filler, too.
Wasn't there an episode where, like, Naruto peed on Ino or something?
Yes. Yes, there was.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
There was an episode where... They didn't animate Naruto's head.
Yeah, he just walked away from it.
Yep.
There was the one where Rock Lee ate too hot chili or something like that.
There was one where they tried to look under Kakashi's mask.
Yes. Well, that was that one was before the filler hell, and actually, if I'm not mistaken, that was based off of an omake thing that was in the end of a volume or something like that.
Ah, but you shouldn't base the whole episode off omake. Otherwise, you get situations like that.
They did that all the time in Fullmetal Alchemist. A lot of the haunted village and the one where they had the dog and that sort of stuff, all that was based off of omake in Fullmetal Alchemist.
So by this point, Danzo still had, or he has his Sharingan already.
Or he just lost an eye. You know, he might have added it later.
Oh, that's true. We don't know exactly how that works.
What do you guys think for next week? Like, are they going to finish off these flashbacks?
I think we got about half a chapter left to flashback.
And then we're going to get to...
Now that Orochimaru has him in his grips, there's not much left to his story.
Yeah, I mean, he becomes his right-hand man, enters the Genin, or the Chunin exam, Sasuke, jealousy, so on.
Don't you feel like you have so much more depth of character and connection to Kabuto now?
Well, I feel things about Kabuto now that I didn't feel before. They're not great, but...
It's just, I mean, he said it last chapter. He's a useless side character that never gets much attention.
Yeah, now we get chapter after chapter of his flashbacks.
And the most interesting thing about them are about other characters.
Why was Orochimaru in that river?
I mean, he was spying on him the whole time.
I know, it's just so weird. I was just hanging out here. What are you doing?
So Kimimaro has to be pretty young then. Because Kabuto was like this age or older when he fought
Kimimaro. I'm really just, we shouldn't be thinking too much about the ages of these people.
Let's quickly move on to One Piece because we're going down a bad rabbit hole.
We're down the timeline and shit. All right, okay. So One Piece, Caesar Crown or Clown?
Clown. It's probably going to be Clown. Well, like he's got a kabuki.
He's got a henchman named Joker. So.
Well, no, I don't think he has a henchman named Joker. My guess with the Joker thing is that that's an alias for Doflamingo. That's my personal guess.
Because it's someone within the government that could make problems go away.
Yes, and I would imagine that Doflamingo is the person who actually has Law's crew.
Yeah.
Because Doflamingo seems more capable of being able to pull something like that off.
First things first, the Tashigi smoker thing weirds me out like crazy.
In a good way or a bad way, because she has her shirt open. Or he has her shirt open.
Both.
That's pretty great.
Like, smoker looks like a legitimately different character. With just his expression changed.
Does like, no One Piece character wear a bra?
Nami does.
No, she wears
bikinis.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She wears bikinis, but whenever they show, like, a character, like, down their shirt even a little bit, like, nobody's ever wearing a bra.
I bet that's a thing that, like, they do for marketability stuff.
Maybe, but...
No, obviously they've just never been invented.
Yes, it's Sanji's dream world. The bra doesn't exist.
They can talk through slugs, but they can't talk... or snails.
So I gotta say, I hate Smoker's crew. They are really annoying the shit out of me.
Yeah.
They're just supposed to be generic, like, misfits and that sort of stuff, because they're the dregs of the Marines that the other people didn't want, and so they got assigned to Smoker and his, you know, obsession with finding Luffy.
Yeah, they're idiots, basically.
Yep.
They're incompetents, yeah, that's the point.
Well, because Smoker's been someone who hasn't succeeded at anything lately. At least since Luffy started.
Yeah, kind of the Garp thing of, like...
Well, he got promoted.
Well, everybody got promoted, except Aokiji.
So he got fired.
Yeah. We got backstory on this island, this chapter.
I do think that it was interesting that, what's it called? In the discussion with Monet and whatnot, that Caesar basically said, your enemy is worth 400 million, so don't push yourselves. Like, 400 million is nothing to worry about.
Well, Caesar himself is worth what? 400 million himself? Like, I think they gave an actual number for him.
I'll have to check real quick, but, I mean, I do get the feeling that Caesar is going to be a very strong opponent.
Well, I'm already thinking that there's no way Luffy can beat him.
Do you think
I'm thinking that it's going to be a matter of both the hockey thing, and then he's going to attempt to do poison gas or something like that. And as we saw in the previous arc, because of the stuff with Magellan, he's basically inoculated against poison now.
Oh, he's 300 million.
Yeah, he's 300 million.
Which is a lot.
Has anyone noticed that he looks like a Kabuki demon?
Yeah, he's got the eyeliner thing.
The eyeliner and the horns and the big robe of gas.
Oh, man. You can't forget the best part of this chapter. After we meet or hear a little bit more about Caesar, Usopp makes everyone masks.
Oh, yes.
So they can keep track of who's who.
Sanji Nami is actually, like, pretty hilarious looking.
Yes.
With a cigarette.
It's got even the mask has, like, a little hard eye on it.
But, yeah, I wonder how long they can keep them in different bodies.
Well, I think they're going to have to fight in those bodies at least.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I'm sure it'll be like, they'll be fighting and Nami will have to yell to Sanji how to use her attacks, and Franky will have to yell to Nami
how to use the beam, and Nami will have to resort to using the beam.
Also, Brownbeard, we get some backstory on him.
So we get a lot of backstory on him, and he basically info dumps the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to join
the
crew.
He's like, your generation sucks. I hate you all.
Well, in his defense, their generation kind of sucks.
Well, they're kind of jerks.
Yeah.
With the exception of Luffy and possibly Law.
Law's still a jerk. He's just not a jerk to Luffy.
I'm shocked that Blackbeard is their age.
Brownbeard?
Well, I don't think... Blackbeard isn't their age. It's just that he didn't really become a captain and, you know, break out into the world.
Yeah, he's part
share
of,
until now. But he, mean, he was...
I think he means generation for, like, that generation of pirates, not, like, age generation.
Oh, well, he said something specific about them being born between eras.
Yeah, eras of... I think Whitebeard is the last generation, and then it's the new generation.
With like, Shanks and them, and...
Well, yeah, kind of post-honor, you know, kind of more cutthroat.
So we got actual information of... why he's a crocodile centaur.
Yeah, because the gas on the island paralyzed everyone.
Well, he lost his legs before that, I think.
Yeah. Right. But everybody else are centaurs because they lost their legs because of the gas and such.
Like his legs were shattered by Basil Hawkins, which I think is the card guy?
Yeah, he's the one who can see fates and that stuff.
It has, like, the straw dolls and stuff. The weird...
I think he beat a pacifista on his own.
Yeah, he's been shown to be pretty strong.
And also apparently kind of a jerk.
Oh no, he didn't beat a pacifista. It was that he was the one who managed to actually kind of sort of hold his own against the Admiral for a bit.
Oh right, when Kizaru came down.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of Kid beat up one of the...
Yeah, Kid and Law together were able to beat a pacifista.
I thought it was Kid and X.
No. Anyway. Yeah, whatever.
Doesn't matter. So
anyway, he came to the island and Law fixed him up nice with some new animal bodies.
And then we
find out that it was actually Caesar's fault in the first place.
He blew it up on purpose to try to defame Vegapunk.
Right.
And that he's a gas man. Which seems pretty similar to Smoker's ability.
I would guess Smoker actually has to solve this, because they're not leaving.
Well, they can't. They have no boat.
Yeah, they have no boat, and they're still switched bodies, and Law has his heart.
So, and, oh, Smoker does specifically say that Law controls his body and soul now, because he has his heart.
Right.
So it is the Davy Jones thing.
Which,
now,
it seems Law for that to do that.
How much, but... Like, does he control... Tagashi in Smoker's body, or does he control Smoker in Tagashi's body?
Both, because it's body and soul. And his soul is in one body, and his body's another body.
Hmm.
It did seem like kind of overkill to do that. Unless he had a specific plan going.
Yeah, because that takes both of those people out of the equation if he's got some kind of control over both of them now.
Well, unless he wants to... rebel against Caesar somehow, and having Smoker's ability will, or the Jutei, which now Tagashi is carrying, will be specifically important to accomplishing that.
Yeah, actually, that sword against the gas man could be pretty good.
Yeah.
It'd probably be the only thing that actually hit him.
Well, I feel like if there was anything that, if Law could have defeated him by now, he would.
Law definitely seems to not be thrilled to be working for this guy.
Yeah. And now that we've figured out that Law made the centaurs, I don't think he made the Harpy Lady.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I would guess that the Harpy Lady, like, since maybe Vegapunk made the dragon, then maybe Caesar made the Harpy Lady just kind of, you know, at the same time because they had the rivalry. I don't know.
She talks back to Caesar, and he talks very familiar to her, so...
Well, and she also needs to be his assistant and...
Yeah.
...gather intelligence for him. So the stakes have been raised at the very end, though, because they say if they don't stop Caesar now, he's going to do something that'll kill lots of people.
Yeah, yes. So motivation, bad guys, it's starting. The good part is starting.
I'm trying to remember when the last time that the Straw Hat, I mean, besides Hody Jones, but before that, last time they fought somebody that...
Was evil?
Yeah, that was trying to kill people.
I think it was Enel. I think that's the last time they were inadvertently good guys.
And that was more because they just happened to be nearby. Because,
I mean, Moria was a jerk, but he wasn't really planning anything.
Right.
Well, he was just trying to make a zombie army.
Yeah, that's a jerk thing to do.
In NAS Lobby, they were trying to kill Robin.
Yeah, but
and then actually there was the entire Buster Call thing too. So they were, you know, gonna
they're government workers.
Kill everybody on the island.
Right. This is somebody that was trying to kill actual innocents, and I think that Enel was probably the crocodile, maybe.
Yeah, this is one of the few times that both the Marines and the Straw Hats think of somebody as a bad guy.
Yeah.
So I think we'll get like a team up with Smoker and Tashigi and the Straw Hats for this.
Well, this is definitely one of those shit going down kind of moments.
Yeah. Well, I was not expecting the stakes to be this in this arc.
Last week that he was the Caesar Clown was a creator of our horrible mass-produced weapons of mass destruction. Then I figured that would be something here.
Yeah, so basically they have to stop him from... He's going to start doing chemical attacks again.
Yeah.
I'm betting he needs to get one of their powers or something to do a crazy attack. And he's going to employ Law to get that power.
Well, he's doing something because he's got those children. I wonder if, like, are the children chemical weapons? Is that going to be the horrible twist here?
That's a little dark for One Piece.
It is.
Assumed that he was experimenting on them or something like that.
Maybe.
Though now that we've shown that Law can take somebody's body and soul by their heart, I wonder if he's going to be forced to take somebody from those Straw Hats.
Like, you think he's going to have to switch Luffy with somebody? Or
like, if Caesar Clown is going to ask him to take Luffy's heart.
To control him? Yeah. Oh, man, and then the crew would have to fight Luffy. That would be kind of awesome.
Though it would be funny if they actually do try to take Brooks and they can't.
Because he has no heart? Yo-ho-ho-ho-ho.
Yes. I always forget he's a Devil Fruit user. And just his Devil Fruits being him.
Well, yeah, it's the Revival Fruit.
Right.
Man, Smoker looks weird now.
They'll probably keep that up the whole arc, I assume, up until the end.
It's the eyes and the lips that really make him look weird.
Are you talking about Tashigi and Smoker's body?
Yes. Or no, the other way around, I thought.
Yeah, Smoker's body. Smoker's body looks weird.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It does look like a totally different character. It's like Oda designed a different manga.
I don't mind Smoker and Tashigi's body at all.
And each manga we end with you saying something creepy.
No, we can't stop there. Somebody else say something.
I like how Luffy went to sleep during Brownbeard's explanation.
Oh, yeah, it's just totally
wrong. Well, during every explanation, that's what happens.
In his defense, why should he care about any of that stuff?
He'll just punch people and it'll work out.
I just noticed Brooke crying at Brownbeard's story.
They were all crying because he lost his legs.
Actually, Robin's smiling. It's kind of messed up.
Oh, yeah, that was one thing that was kind of weird. That, like, somebody said something somewhere, and she got all, like, her interest has piqued. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was they said. We're trying to look for that.
Might have been the last chapter? I don't see her reacting to anything.
It was totally this chapter.
I think you're high.
Probably. I'll find it when we're done with this, and it's entirely too late to talk about it.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the entire Straw Hats part, and she doesn't seem to react to anything.
Maybe
oh,
I...
there... Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she just kind of reacts to everybody being abandoned on the island. So.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Maybe because, you know, she has history with bad things being done to islands.
People from the government left the prisoners behind in those circumstances. Then they sealed the island off. And that's what she reacted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because government dooming the people to die, you know, they wiped out her village. I don't know.
It just it seemed like something that, like, they wouldn't put in there for no reason.
Yeah.
But oh well. All right. Do we have anything
so
else
anyway,
to
what
leaves?
Do you think's going to happen next? Oh. Like, specifically next?
Well, I think we're going to have to see some other people in Caesar's side for the Straw Hats to fight. The villains are kind of slim pickings right now.
And I assume Sanji is going to freak out when he sees the harpy.
And Toshigi.
Yeah.
Rather, Nami is going to freak out when she sees the harpy.
Sami. Whatever.
I wonder if Sanji will actually be able to fight women now that he's not in a man's body.
Well, they don't know that they're all switched. Only Law knows, and the Straw Hat crew knows.
Right, but yeah. I mean, like, Sanji's weakness is that he can't fight women ever.
Right, but I'm guessing that, like, they're going to be offended. When she, or let's say Nami gets matched up with the Harpy Lady. And she'll be offended that Sanji will not fight her.
Hmm. Yeah, or, is it Chopper that's in Sanji's body? If he has to fight the Harpy Lady?
Yeah.
Sanji gets mad that his body is fighting a woman.
I think next they're going to have to explain what Law's stakes in this are. Because we've already guessed that it's going to be his crew is missing, or his crew is held captive.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to hold that out until the actual fight's going on.
I think they're going to try to allude to him being a bad guy longer. Because there is that little bit of, like, whose side is he on kind of thing going on.
Yeah. So who's going to fight Law?
Luffy.
Because he can't fight Gas Guy.
Yeah.
Why can't he fight Gas Guy?
What's he going to punch?
He's got Haki.
Yeah. Haki solves everything.
I feel like, I don't know. Haki is a nice convenient excuse for everything, but...
A nice convenient excuse since everyone can only have one Devil Fruit power.
Yeah.
So it's a way to give them power-ups.
To punch the unpunchable is Luffy's power.
Yes.
But they haven't really mentioned it much since his training.
I think they've had, like, a couple things here and there where he's glittered at stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, didn't they show him punching the swamp dude at some point?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a Logia as well, so.
So there's precedent. He can do it.
Yeah, but more importantly, I want him to fight Law and not Caesar. Because I think that would be a better fight.
He can do both.
That's true.
One doesn't preclude the other. That's why I think there's got to be a few more people, you know, fodder guys to fight. Which I guess we can just get, like, generic centaur-type people.
The fodder guys in the Fishman Island arc really kind of sucked.
Yeah, I hope there's some better ones here. Some CP9 quality guys.
Because they spent time giving them, not backstory, but introductions. And they were all extremely boring introductions.
Yeah, the reason that the CP9 ones worked so well is because we were aware of them for so long.
Yeah, there was build up to them.
And they were good designs. They had interesting powers. And the Fishman Island guys, they were like, well, this guy's a fishman and he uses swords.
But even during the Enies Lobby arc, like, the pasta guy was really funny in a good fight.
See, I could see it more as but basically what I think is going to happen. There's going to be a couple other smaller people introduced in addition to, you know, the Harpy and whatnot. But I think that the ones who end up fighting Law are going to be the four who have had body switches, and they're going to have to overcome Law well in their different bodies.
I can see
like
that. That would be really good.
Or Law keeps switching them.
That would be pretty funny, too. Like, they're getting randomly shuffled as the fight is going on.
One Piece Rainbow Edition. All right, so any other thoughts on One Piece?
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I think I'm spent.
All right, so like we said, next week is Jump's off week. If
yes, Golden Week.
Right.
The dreaded Golden Week.
So we haven't decided on a consistent idea of what we're going to do when Jump is off, but now that Bakuman has ended, that gives us a reason to have a podcast next week. So we'll be talking, next week is going to be mostly about Bakuman, but if you don't like Bakuman, we're also going to talk about probably what new things we might want to add to the rotation.
Yeah, we've got some ideas, but it's hard to pick.
Right, so we'll probably might be talking about that. There may be voting involved, we're not sure.
We might broadcast it on TV and get people to do votes.
And then text your answer to...
Standard messaging rates apply. So
text Madoka 1 from Madoka Box.
So that will happen next week. Until then, guys, thank you for coming.
Yep.
Thank you.
This has been your Thursday, April 19th Jumpcast, and we'll see you guys next week.
I'm a very picky eater.
Yeah. Trust me, you are not as picky as TJ, who's the guy who makes this stuff.
No, I'm probably a lot pickier.
No, seriously. It is... It would be... You would starve to death if you were pickier than him.
Okay, I don't eat ground beef.
That's weird.
Do you eat any vegetables or fruits?
I eat a couple vegetables.
Congratulations, you're less picky. I'm not exaggerating. He does not eat anything which is green. He won't eat tomatoes. He will eat tomato sauce.
Is he a large person?